can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's Post Game Podcast.
All right, away we go on the podcast on a Thursday. It's the Jets-Patriots morning. That's what we call it. It's a football Thursday. What's up, Al?
Yes, it is, Jerry. You know, I was thinking about lately, whenever, and it does not matter the topic or the discussion, when statistics start to come into play,
yeah,
I generally, my brain shuts off.
Okay.
Like, not necessarily sports related, but like a regular conversation where you hear either a news story or a guest on a podcast and they just start statistic.
Oh, giving you numbers?
Yeah. No matter what, even if it's a topic that I'm interested in. Like we always saw, I'm interested in diet and food and that. And you just be like, 73% of all people are obese. 22% of those people are obese from type 1 diabetes. Of those 36%,
yeah,
like,
it gets
I don't,
stupid. It gets
like,
stupid.
What are you telling me?
Right.
Statistics, sometimes they just don't, even if they're,
stats can lie.
Yeah, even if they're alarming statistics, they don't stick with me.
No, because we've seen way too many times where stats are slanted or positioned in a place to make your argument work.
Yeah.
And you can do that with a lot of stuff. Like I could probably take a baseball player's stats that, you know, he might not be a very good baseball player, but find some good stats for him and make him a good player in my mind and to you.
Yeah.
You know, but you could do that with anything.
Yeah. And also, when someone's spewing stats at you in an argument, again, the sports ones can be proven easily. Like either he made 60% of his kicks or he didn't. But when like someone's arguing their point, they're going, well, then why is 47% of the males age 30 and above diabetic, whereas 33% of the women to go, hey,
where do you get it from?
Says who? Who did they test? You know what I mean? Like this idea of, what are your sources and what are their sources?
Right, there's millions of people in this country. You didn't talk to all of them.
Yeah, so where are we getting all these, no matter the topic,
I guess what's the number?
From?
You got to have 1,200 people? Is that the number?
For a poll to be
statistically
accurate?
Yeah, or at least received as accurate.
Yeah.
Right, 1,200?
Yeah, I think it's like 1,200.
Yeah, I don't know. I do like the one guy I told you about yesterday, Thomas DeLauer. He does come up with a lot of studies.
Who is he?
He's a jacked fitness guy.
Jacked up
dude.
Yeah,
that I like. He's pretty good on YouTube. I like the way he actually presents things, although he will sometimes present something with documentation and studies from Harvard or from wherever they're from, and then he'll highlight the paragraph he wants to share with you, and it'll say, of the six people tested. It's like, well, wait, all of this is based on a test with six people?
Yeah.
Huh? You know, and I love the guy, so I'm not ripped, but it's like, I sit there, I'm like, all right, I'm not sure I'm going to believe that.
Right.
You know, you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know. I said yesterday, the day before, we are living in the land of the time of misinformation.
Yes. You have to question everything you read and hear.
Yeah.
And then try to decipher where they're getting their information from.
Agreed.
So I did see an actual news story that's I think could be trouble, Jerry.
Uh-oh.
This is the longshoremen are threatening to strike in 2 weeks. This is the people who work at, like, the docks in Newark and other East Coast docks.
This sounds like problems.
Where we get all of our products in from and where we ship our products out of.
I believe they are one of the strongest unions in the country.
Yeah, so they say in 2 weeks... 45,000 people will go on strike if they don't get a new deal, and this will screw up supply chains.
Of course it will.
That they said, even if they just miss a couple days.
It'll be a disaster.
Yeah, like it'll be months. And they're already saying in these articles that I was reading that like even a couple days could screw up holiday supply.
Really?
Like supply chain for Christmas.
Wow.
For...
I don't understand how a couple days does that much damage.
Yeah.
I really don't. I understand it might back things up a week. But once you get rolling again, you get rolling again.
I
never understood that.
And this could be you don't know who's given the information.
It could
again,
be a scare tactic.
It could be a scare tactic from the union that wants to get the deal done quicker. But I always get bothered by strikes always bother me.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because you never know whose side to be on, right?
Yes, I totally understand.
Or sometimes I think, and I'm not in, I've never been in a union. My guess is that if I was in a union, I would love it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not in the union, I sometimes think, oh, well, the unions always want too much. But maybe the owners for wherever are making way more money than they're given their fair share. So you never really do know.
It depends on the situation, the store, the what the union is, what the business is. In this case, I have no idea.
Yeah, we have no idea.
I don't know who they answer to. I don't know what the...
I was reading the article, it goes, they're looking for significant raise. And I'm like, uh-oh, this sounds like this could drag on.
I will tell you, we off the air, we discuss this all the time. And on this podcast, the rise in costs of everything have skyrocketed so much that I could see people like that saying, you know what? Inflation is killing us. We want 30% up across the board. And I don't know that they're wrong. You know, I don't know who they work for, if they can afford it or not. I don't know. But, I mean, would you not think that even a place like here, a supermarket, like anywhere, shouldn't have raises that are, you know, they run parallel to inflation?
Right.
None of them do.
Just to break even,
just to stay where you're at, let alone inflation's killing you and you have to change your lifestyle or your shopping list or whatever it might be just to keep up. You know, and when you have the power like a union like that does, you're right. That could be trouble.
And especially if you're in a union in a situation where people everywhere will feel the effects of a strike.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to feel the effects of the strike. And I'm just finding out about it.
Did in the article at all, did it reference how bad the supply chain was during COVID or no?
It did. It said, oh, this could rival COVID supply chain issues. I don't know if that's true or not. I guess it would depend on how long it goes on for. But
I don't know.
But remember, like, during COVID, they said, like, all those shipping containers would be sitting out in the ocean?
Yep, I do. That's, I guess, what would happen in this. I don't know.
That's a whole crazy scene, what goes on with these shipping containers.
Yeah.
Because you ever see the ones where it's like, if they get caught in a really bad storm and, like, things are falling off the ships?
God.
Just shipping containers falling off ships.
You talk about a tough job.
Yeah.
That is not easy.
And then also for, like, if it said in the article that American farmers, we sometimes ship stuff to other countries.
Yeah, and they will lose all that revenue.
Yeah, they'll lose all that revenue.
You ever wonder, like, you talk about the stuff sitting on shipping containers. You ever think, like, when you order something, and let's say it's coming from Germany or wherever, who knows? Like, somewhere in Germany or somewhere in, could be China, because certainly a lot of goods come
China.
From there. Like, there's something, let's say it's a radio, whatever, that's got your name on it. And that little box has to find its way across the ocean, has to be sorted and picked and put on the proper truck to get to its proper hub to where it's going to get to its, and all done in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, right now there's a product in China that's going to make its way to my front porch in Bradley Beach.
It's unbelievable. Is it for real?
I'm saying I'm sure something that I order is from China is going to roll up here.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm a little nervous about that. I don't know. Like, right now, should I start? There's certain
hoarding?
Things. Yeah. Do I start hoarding, like, dog food? I don't know what's coming from where.
You know,
what if my dog don't have food?
Well, I guess
what if I don't have food.
My question would be, too, how much do we get from the U.S.? Like, I understand the stuff coming into the ports. I understand that. That's international trade, commerce, all that stuff. Okay, fine. But let's say you order, I don't know, isn't all the stuff from Whole Foods come from this country? I mean, is the Whole Foods import stuff?
Yeah, you know what's weird? I saw a thing on the internet of someone doing a video. They went to that, what they were showing was that a lot of the frozen items in Whole Foods, frozen organic fruits and vegetables, are from China.
You're kidding me.
No, and they're like, how do we know that China's holding up their end of the bargain with the organic rules?
I didn't know that.
Seems strange, yeah. I never really looked into it myself.
Very interesting.
But I always mean to. I'm always like, every time, but I wouldn't even think to get a bag of broccoli and see where it's coming from.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either.
I would assume we got broccoli here.
Those freezers might be empty then in a few weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Well, thank you for. I got enough things to panic about. I didn't need this.
Well, God, maybe we could help get this situation solved one way or another.
My God, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think me and you are going to have any influence on that whatsoever.
So I said 2 weeks. We got 2 weeks. You know, these negotiations always go down to the wire or after the wire.
That's true. That'd be a crazy fall if we got to deal with that again.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I hope we got all of our pumpkin spice items in by now. Otherwise, people are going to be missing their pumpkin spice flavored
things. You know
the
commercial
things?
I saw, speaking of which, where I had to take a double take? I saw Eli and Peyton Manning because they're, I know Eli. I don't know about Peyton. Eli's a big Dunkin' Donuts endorser. I saw them doing a thing. I thought they were for like little mini donuts. They were for pretzel bites. But the way it looked on TV, I'm like, they're cheating on Dunkin' Donuts. They're not. And I started thinking, like, how many things are these guys endorsing?
A lot of things.
It is unbelievable how all these, you know, it was one thing when players made a lot of money when they played, and then the good ones would have a post-playing career and make decent money broadcasting. Now these guys are making more money when they get done playing than they made when they were playing. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, there are certain guys that, after their playing careers, man, they dominate it. And Eli's still crushing it.
He is.
Wait
yes,
till he gets into the Hall of Fame. He's going to really be getting some things.
You're right. You're right about that.
You remember we were talking on the podcast the other day about how podcasts make money and things like that. And I said...
You got us a $100 million deal?
I did not, unfortunately. Not yet. I'm working on that, Jerry. After we get this longshoreman strike settled,
we'll go to work on that.
Same negotiators over here.
Yeah.
But this idea that I said, like, why would... Like, how do some people charge for their podcast?
Yeah, I was asking about that, yeah.
Yeah, because the one I was talking about, I listened to that Smartless podcast. So somebody DM'd me yesterday, and he said that the Smartless podcast and others charge if you want to get it a week early.
Hmm.
Otherwise, they put their podcast out. They put their podcast out.
Is it time sensitive, a lot
of
the stuff?
No, I guess a lot of the ones that they do, so, like, we would never be able to do that. Because, well, I guess, I don't know if this is time sensitive, but...
Actually, we could. None
of
them. The
warm-up show
do.
Is time sensitive.
That is, yes.
But, that they... It's either released... Like, who can't wait a week for a podcast...
I don't know.
...that you would want to pay for it?
I don't know. Because if it's generic stuff, even if it's been from the news, if it's not like, I don't know, front page stuff, is it really... Do you have to hear about it right now?
No.
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I don't know. Like, I know you had told me about a few podcasts that everything's free, but if you want extra content, you could charge a few dollars a month for that. That, I think, is actually a pretty good idea. I think that's pretty good, as opposed to just trying to charge people for your podcast. You know, maybe you get 100 people that are interested in some stuff that we otherwise don't do here. I think that's kind of cool, actually. But delaying it a week is... weird.
Yeah, I have seen that with a couple different podcasts. And then after looking around, like it's like, oh, you if you're a member, you get it a week early, but your membership costs money.
Yeah,
I mean, give it to me a week late.
Yeah, I'm fine. I agree. I totally agree.
I'll take an NFL game a week late if I don't have to pay for it, Jerry. We'll be breaking down Patriots Jets next Thursday.
Next Friday morning.
Yeah, next Friday morning. We've got to give it a full week.
Right.
In order to.
I don't think it would work with sports.
No, it would not work. It would not work with sports. I also got a message from a guy on Twitter.
A lot of messages.
Yeah, I get a lot of messages. A lot of the people that hear things here on the podcast,
they
message me about it.
Okay.
I don't know if it's more because it's more personal things.
It could be.
But I did get a guy who messaged me that he and his wife are about to become foster parents.
Good for them.
So
that's
he was
amazing.
Walking me through the whole thing.
And you've decided to become a foster parent?
I have not, no. Okay. But he said that they really look into you as people before they'll give you a...
And rightly so.
...child, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can try to tell them whether you want like an infant... he and his wife are going for a school-aged child.
Okay.
Like a grammar school-aged kid. Yeah.
That's really hard.
Yeah. They said, and we will run commercials sometimes for the one about teenagers. Very difficult.
Yeah, sure.
To get a foster home for teenagers because I guess the thinking is the older the kid gets, the more...
Well, the more independent the kid is and probably doesn't want to be told something.
Yeah.
That's got to be, I mean, they need help for sure.
Yeah.
And places to live, and I get that. But as someone of that age where I would, not that I have two kids, I'm not looking to foster anybody, but if I was, it would be really difficult to open up your home to, let's say, a 13-year-old who a week after you're into this, he tells you to go F off because you tell him he's got to be home at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's difficult because he's not your kid. You know,
and right, and he's been through the ringer.
Yeah, and you feel bad for both sides.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really tough spot for both.
This guy said most people want a baby.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, because you want to raise it like it's your own.
Yeah, because I guess every year that a child is older, they've had another year experience that wasn't with you.
Correct. I would think the one thing about fostering a baby or adopting a baby, and again, I think it's amazing for people to do that, you're always going to be concerned that the parents come looking.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, that in adoption for sure.
Yes.
I guess the fostering situation, because I was asking, like, why would somebody foster, like, what are the reasons would somebody foster a kid?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, like, let's say parents get caught with drugs or something, and the home they're in is a bad home.
Oh.
They'll take the children, put them in foster care until they deem the parents are healthy enough to get the kid back. So then that's a whole nother situation. It just seems like, my goodness.
Very complicated.
Yeah. There are a lot of people with complicated situations.
Well, how about if you work in that field? Like we have a friend of ours who's a counselor, and she deals with a lot of crap. I mean, really tough
stuff.
For
kids or adults?
Kids.
Kids,
teenagers.
Counselor.
And sit there and say, God, what I'm doing for a living? I walk out of here. I mean, the only thing I think about the next day is if my key card's going to work and if I've been fired or not. Other than that, I don't have a stress to this job. Whereas someone that helps foster kids, someone like my wife who works in a school, someone like our friend who's a counselor, like you're talking about dealing with real life situations that very well could follow you home and you can't get it off your mind. And that is hard, man. That is very difficult.
Yeah, I even saw a woman walking her dog yesterday. She clearly was walking the dog right after work, and she was in scrubs. I was like, yeah, man, this woman, I bet this woman sees some things every day. The hospital or wherever
every
she is.
Every day,
right?
Yes, every day. Good and bad.
And then I was also wondering, does she have germs on her from if you're in a hospital or a doctor's office where sick people are coming in?
Well, why did you?
Does she have the germs follow her home?
When you see her today, you should go give her a big bear hug, and let's see how you're feeling the next day.
I do not want to get illness from a bear hug.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess you're never going to know.
But I did think that. I was like, huh. Another. One, I feel like this woman probably sees some things. Two, like she walked into her apartment
mm-hmm.
where her and her husband or her boyfriend live. When she walks in there, does he think, I hope she hops in the shower to get germs off?
You don't think she's going to hop in her pants?
No, because she might have hospital germs.
Is she good? I suppose it's possible.
And do I put my laundry with the scrub laundry? Or will my laundry touch germs?
You really are one of a kind. I mean, these are the things you're thinking about. Oh, my gosh.
And that, by the way, those people aren't even in my life other than I see them walking a dog.
I understand that. My gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I try to, like, see. You know, sometimes when I'm walking the dog, you see different people's lives.
And I've always told you I'm fascinated by how people live their life.
Different people's lives. Mm-hmm. There's another couple that lives in an apartment complex that I will walk my dog past. They have no shades or curtains on any windows.
Oh, really? Exhibitionists?
Well, I never see them nude. But, like, it's dark out. They got the lights
really?
On. They're watching TV.
And you
TV.
Can just see right in.
Oh, they're watching Friends.
Yeah.
I want all my shades drawn at
Everybody's
all times.
Everybody's different. It makes the world go round. We're all different.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Some people go just shades. Some go just curtains.
Right.
Some double up shades, curtains. Which are you, do you think?
Shades.
Shades, yeah.
We have shades all over the house. I don't think we have curtains.
Not curtains.
No, shades and No, I guess we do have some of both.
Yeah, if you want protection, you really need both.
In some spots, we have just shades. In other spots, we have just curtains. And in some spots, we have both.
Yeah.
And in some places, we have blinds.
Blinds.
Yeah. Not in a lot, but I would say...
The big wooden blinds or the thin, like, vinyl blinds?
The blinds that are actually embedded in the window of the doors, which are cool.
Oh, in the glass?
Yeah.
Oh, I have seen those. I've seen those on sliders.
Yes, very
sliding
cool.
Glass doors.
We don't have sliding glass doors, but in our windows we have those.
Really?
Yeah, the back to the back door outside, the window outside to the back, and upstairs in our bathroom. Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing in regular windows.
Yep. Yep, and they're not, you know, those cheap ones you go buy at Target. Like, they're in the window.
Yeah.
They're very cool. They're actually very cool.
That is cool.
They were there when we bought the house. I thought it was one of the neater things.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'll take the house. I like these.
I like these shades within the glass windows.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It was different for me.
Yeah, I was thinking about, like, when I need to get new sliding glass doors, I'm going to get those shades.
By the way, when are you going to do this? You're 55. That's at some point. Let's make this
70.
Happen. So you can stop having any home repairs.
So I could stop wishing for these sliders with the blinds in the
right.
Things.
If you want them, get them.
Yeah.
You ain't taking your money with you, as they say.
I know, but what if the stock market crashes, Jerry? Then where am I?
You get a job then.
A job?
You get a job.
A real job?
I do. I know you like doing nothing. I'm well aware you like doing nothing. I'm curious to see in a few years, whenever it is, 4 years, whenever... If you will be content every single day with no responsibility.
I don't think so, and here's why I know this. So I took a lot of time off in the summer. I took from July to end of August, I took every other week.
Yeah.
It was 4 weeks.
Yep.
You know, the first week it was like, oh, this is great. I haven't had a week off in a long time. Second week, I went on a cruise. That was awesome. Third week, I worked at, I was at the Jets thing. Then I did another thing. I was busy that week. The fourth week, the last week leading into Labor Day, I had nothing to do every day.
Yeah. Every day.
I was over it, legitimately, in 1 week.
Right, so that's retirement.
Yeah, I know. I did. And I wanted to get there mentally to know that feeling.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
It's weird, yeah. I don't think I could do that.
I couldn't either. We've talked about this so many times, but I have an afternoon, like when it rains... And I have one afternoon like that. I'm like, I'm ready to go work at Target. Like, I got to do something. I can't sit here.
Yeah.
And the TV gets old to me. I know some people can sit there all day and watch it. I can't.
Yeah, I will not do that.
I just can't. You know, and that's the one thing that, you know, trying to come up with, I've always said, some sort of a side, like a real business to run, I think is a great way to go into retirement where you're still busy. You don't have to work 90 hours a week, but maybe it's a business that requires 25 hours a week. You're going to tell me in retirement, if I had to do something for 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday, that's going to kill my retirement. No, it ain't.
No, it's great.
It's going to give me a purpose to wake up every morning and be fired up about the day as opposed to waking up. Okay. What do we do after breakfast? Well, we'll wait for lunch. And after lunch, what do we do? Well, we'll prepare for dinner. Then what? Go to bed, repeat. Ugh.
Yeah.
Eat me. That sounds terrible. Eddie seems very locked in on having a routine, and I think that's great. If that works for him, phenomenal. There's only so much walking I could do. Now, I guess the equivalent, as I would say, is I would play golf every day, and I would, but we don't live in an area where you can do that 12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
So if he likes walking as much as I like playing golf, I get it to a certain extent, but man, years and years and years of the only thing you're looking forward to is hiking or playing golf? I need more.
Yeah. If you have a good side hustle, DM me. Me and Jerry want to know about side hustles. Right?
All jokes aside, like I'm really interested in trying to do something, start something that can have my boys involved, that maybe my dad could help with. Like, you know, I'm not, and this is, as I always say to Eddie, who likes to make fun, this is nothing to do about getting rich quick. This is about trying to stay busy and relevant and make some extra money for when they do fire me.
Get out, Jerry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, always interested.
Always yeah, I'm always interested in the side hustles people have.
Yeah. I was just looking into the Amazon Hub delivery where as long as you own a business, like you couldn't call up and say, hi, I'm Al Dukes. I want to have you have to have a business.
A delivery business.
No, just a business that's registered with the state of New Jersey or the state you live in. So like I do, I have an LLC. So technically I am eligible to do this. It's pretty cool. The only thing I didn't like, so... You would sign, if I'm reading this right, you sign up, as long as you have an LLC in place or a business in place and you have a New Jersey registered number and all that stuff, you can apply, and it seems like they will approve you. And what they do is they essentially come over and drop off merchandise for 20 to 50 stops a day. Not 500, 20 to 50. It says it averages out to about 30 deliveries a day, and they pay you per delivery. The requirement, 7 days a week. So you really have to make sure you're covered if you go on vacation, yeah, or, you know, if your son's not around, if that's his day, you got to get it done. But I'm like, that's really interesting. That's a really no money out of pocket to get started, because I've set up my business and everything already. It's just adding something to it. I'm like, my dad could, I know he wants something to do. I'm like, I was actually thinking about that. That's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, I have heard that commercial.
Yeah, well, that's where I got it. I heard Tiki reading it.
Yeah, and they go like this. They go, you make deliveries whenever you want.
All right, so that's, I think that's something different. That is, you have to, I'm talking more the business side. That is, isn't that Amazon Flex Delivery?
Oh, maybe.
That's Flex Delivery, and it works like Uber. You sign up, you put the app on your phone, and then you look at the deliveries available in your area, and you claim them. And they're like pallets of deliveries, the way it looks to me reading the website. If you claim this pallet of deliveries that's going to be, say, in Western Monmouth County, you grab it, it's yours, you got to come pick up the stuff, and then you go out and do it. If you don't feel like delivering that day, like you don't feel like driving Uber, you don't claim anything. That's interesting. I did look. I don't think there's any territories available in the area.
I'd be worried about what if someone's dog is out and it's a mean dog and I've got to go deliver this package to the front porch.
Yeah, you're
right. There's a dog sitting there.
Yeah, or as I've said, what if you end up in a very shady neighborhood?
Yeah.
Like, that stuff happens all the time.
Like with teenagers.
Yeah, that too. No question. So I thought all that was interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
But, you know, of course it's Amazon.
Yeah.
You get these ads for Tebow?
Tebow?
I think it's called Tebow or Temu.
Temu.
Yeah, Temu. It's out of China. It's like trying to be Amazon's rival.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And apparently they're doing well.
Yeah, but Gina's used it a few times.
Oh, okay.
It's sometimes it's a cheaper product.
Oh, really?
Like a cheaper version.
Yeah, yeah.
But other times it seems like the same exact product. So
interesting.
It's a crapshoot, I think. All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show. We'll be back here tomorrow talking Jets-Patriots at 5 a.m. Soup!